Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
It's time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to the next session of Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky, and today we are going to be talking about tinnitus, which is sort of a ringing in the ears. We've got Scott Armbruster joining us. He is CEO and inventor of the Sound Pillow and Sound Pillow Sleep System. So, Scott, welcome to the show.
Good morning. It's really awesome to be here, first of all, because I get to talk about one of my favorite, least favorite subjects, which is tinnitus or tinnitus. And I think my family and friends are kind of tired about hearing about it. So always good to talk about it with somebody new.
Great, great. Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us. And, you know, to get us started, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and how did you even get interested or involved with tinnitus?
Well, the first thing I have to do is make my lawyer happy.
Okay.
So it's important to understand that we're going to be talking about a medical condition. However, I am not a doctor, medical doctor. I've never played one on TV. However, I can discuss my experiences and conversations I've had with a myriad of clinicians, other folks with tinnitus, veterans, and across the board. I will not be dispensing any medical advice today, but will certainly be able to tell my story.
Fantastic. So, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So without going all the way back to 1964, when I was born, I just turned 60, just had a birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Hey, made it this far. So it's all good. You know, I very early on had this affinity for music. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first, vinyl album my father ever put on, the record player. And I was probably around 5 years old when I had this, you know, this conscientious awareness of music. And it was the Dave Brubeck Quartet Take 5. Mm-hmm. It was the first album I ever heard. In fact, I actually have that album in my collection downstairs. I inherited it from my father. And I was just really, and I loved the way jazz made me feel. I liked the calmness that it brought to me, and I played that record over and over and over again. You can actually still hear the burn marks, which is a radio term. When you're queuing up a record, mm-hmm. you get that kind of hiss at the beginning. You can tell I wore that album out, but I still have it to this day, and I still listen to it with all its imperfections because Wonderful. It reminds me of being a kid. Now, from there, my dad encouraged me to go into band. So I played in band for years, from fourth grade through graduation. Alto sax, tenor sax, A band, jazz band, orchestra band, marching band, concert band, all sorts of bands. Mm-hmm. But sort of kind of a precursor is I had the horn section right behind me.
So ah.
Trumpets and the trombones and the brass section,
right
behind me. And that might have been kind of the early onset of using and abusing sound.
Right. Wow.
I used to, as a kid, listen to the radio at night by hiding a small transistor radio under my pillow. And that way I could listen to, you know, the American Top 40 or the local AM station. And when my folks came to check on me to see if I was sleeping, they had no idea that I was listening to whatever program it was tucked underneath my pillow.
Ah.
Which becomes, you know, this whole story just kind of becomes like this road leading to where we are today.
Right, right.
You know? I don't play anymore. A friend of mine still has her sax, and I picked it up about a year ago and made some really bad noises out of it and decided, you know, that was then, you know, this is now.
Yeah.
So, you know, flash forward and getting through high school, I was kind of, I don't know, I guess we were all kind of rebellious and careless. And I lived out in the middle of nowhere, Afton, Minnesota, small town of about 2,500 people, grew up in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, when I didn't want me just to hang out all summer after I graduated high school in 1982. So they had set me up at a trade school, Brown Institute, which was a radio television broadcasting school.
Wonderful.
And that's how I got into radio. I wanted to be a DJ. I wanted to sit and listen to music all day long. I wanted to, you know, explore new music, be around music, a part of music. Get into, it was all about music and sound.
Mm-hmm.
Got my FCC license, the whole bit. The next step was, where do you go from there? Well, oddly enough, I ended up working for a short time at the radio station, major market radio station in the Twin Cities, that was the radio station I would listen to through the little radio tucked under my pillow. Mm. A station called ABWB, 101.3 on the FM dial, or 63 AM. And I was in the production side of that.
Right.
So this whole abuse of sound is going to start growing a little bit more. And one day I was putting songs on the cart, if you're old enough to remember 8-track tapes,
yep.
We would actually, in order to help avoid cue burn, that scratchy sound you might get at the beginning of a song that you were holding before you let it fly to play. Mm-hmm. And so we put it among what we call carts. And then the DJs would play those carts instead of the actual album, freed up their time, their hands to do other things and do the logs and that. Well, this band had come out with this song, Don't Tell Me You Love Me, Night Ranger. And it started off with this boom, 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 boom. Just this really great bass line. I fell in love with it. I cranked up the monitors. And I mean, I cranked up the monitors because I didn't want to just hear the sound. I wanted to feel that bass pumping through my body.
Just right, bouncing right. My chest
and bones rattling, the whole bit. And the FM jock came in while I was doing this. And I'll tone the language down a little bit. But he said, will you turn that darn thing down? And I turn it down and I look at him and said, I thought this was the soundproof room. He said, yeah, so did we. It's like, okay, okay. And I moved on. From there, I was offered a television position, one of the first students ever out of Brown Institute, where I was offered an on-camera position at a Cheyenne, Wyoming radio station. But they wanted to give me sports, and I wanted weather. I'd realized working at the radio station, playing music on rotation was not for me.
Right.
You know, Michael Jackson's Thriller had just come out, and dear Lord, you could set your clock by when did, you know, Billie Jean play? When did Thriller play? And it was this constant repetition, and I hated it. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted to go, and funny enough, in radio, it's all programmed. You don't get to choose.
Right, you know, right.
Listen. So not turned out that wasn't for me. So I'm like, okay, let's do television. Let's do weather. But I was offered a sports position. And I still remember speaking to the owner of the TV station, because it was all very small then. It's not like the conglomerates like it is today, right? They were actually independently owned. Don't get me started. Mm-hmm. Again, I have an FCC license. And so it was very fragmented, in my opinion, as it should be. However, he really wanted me to do sports. I just wasn't into the sports scene. Having been in band, we at high school, we showed up at every sporting event. You know, we were doing football, we were doing hockey, we were doing basketball. And it wasn't my thing. I like to play the music, I like to listen to the music. I didn't want to talk about sports. So I decided to go to college. And I ended up at Mankato State University in southern Minnesota, now University of Minnesota, Mankato, where I decided to go into business, and I wanted to have, a background in marketing and advertising, because I thought that would be fun. I inadvertently picked up a second degree along the way, college degree, which became just simply of my love of speaking to people. So I have the radio television degree, the business degree, and the speech communication degree. And the speech communication degree had an emphasis of inter and intrapersonal communications. Okay. So for those who don't know, interpersonal is, like you and I, we're speaking back and forth. But intrapersonal communications is knowing how to speak to yourself, your internal dialogue, which I thought at first was kind of odd. But as I went through life, found out I use all of that every day. Uh-huh. It wasn't my intention to, go out into the world and have all these degrees. It just worked out that way. And in moving then forward through life, I knew I wanted to be around music. I also had a love for audiovisual. I mean, go figure with the radio and TV, AV.
Sure.
And ended up working for a small laser company in the Twin Cities, where we started doing corporate events. We had, back in the day, there was I think they still might have Musiclands. I'm not sure if they still have Musicland, but they were a corporate customer, Deluxe Checks. And we did these corporate gigs where they would gather a bunch of people to have, a yearly meeting. And the laser show would be the kind of get them going, pump up the blood, and kind of the rah-rah motivational aspect of it, and kind of get everybody jazzed about these meetings. Holy buckets, the money was insane. I mean, I had no idea that they would actually pay me to go have fun and put on shows.
Right.
And then the travel that came with it. We did shows in Cancun, Hawaii, North Dakota, South Dakota. Nothing wrong with that. Not everything was always Cancun or Hawaii, but I got to see and speak to people all around the country.
Right.
My favorite gig was a concert gig. And you could have a corporation that would bring in a concert. Some of these corporations will spend some huge money putting on very elaborate stage shows. Lot of private parties with a lot of big name bands. And those were great. The only entity I toured with where it was more than just a one-off gig was the Pink Floyd Laser Spectacular.
Wow. So
the Pink Floyd Laser Spectacular is a show, as you would imagine, it's a laser show built around and synchronized to the music of Pink Floyd, which was great for me because I absolutely loved Pink Floyd. Now, I remember the first time a friend of mine put Dark Side of the Moon on the album and blown away. And from there I went in, real deep to Animals and, as we got the Wall, and I've actually got Pulse on in the background right now, a Pink Floyd concert, because of the fact I don't get to sit in silence, which we'll get to when we get to tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can imagine, when you're in a venue and you're doing a sound check, there's no audience in the venue. It is loud. Because we are running everything at show mode. Got to make sure it all works. And sometimes we'll go from beginning to end if there was something, you know, that we wanted to see. We'd run the entire show before the audience got there. And sometimes we'd do pieces. Mm-hmm. Even in a stadium where you maybe had 25,000 seats, there's no audience, then our sound was even louder.
Right.
And one of my jobs was to roll around and get in a golf cart, and I'd roll around to the different levels in the stadium, and I'd listen for dead spots. You know, and help the guys, the audio guys, EQ, you mm-hmm. know, push sound maybe a little more house left or house right or stage left or stage, and fill it in.
So let me stop you right here for a second, because I can tell we're building to the crux of this story. And so this is the perfect time for us to take our commercial break and come back and hear exactly what is going to occur. So perfect. Bear with us as we break to commercial.
The station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we are back on Sleep Science Today. We were just before our commercial break, we were hearing from Scott Armbruster. He's in a stadium. He's doing sound checks. And fill us in. What happens?
Well, generally, in a sound check, you would get some guitar tech who, you know, thought they were Jimmy Page. Or Eddie Van Halen, and they would just start ripping, you know, shredding the guitar in those really high frequencies. And it would get kind of, I guess I want to use the word annoying, but sometimes it would get actually almost painful for me. It's just, I thinking about it now, you can see my shoulders going up. I can feel it almost rippling through my spine. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's flash forward to 1991, Helena, Montana. That particular night, we were the opening act. The Laser Floyd was the opening act for Rick Derringer and Edgar Winter. Mm-hmm. They were just coming off their Live in Japan tour, supporting a CD. And so we decided to hang around after our portion of it and keep the Lasers going for their performance. But one thing you need to understand about these Lasers, we were governed by the CDRH, the Center for Devices of Radiological Health, because the level of lasers we were using could blind somebody in the audience.
Wow.
We had very specific rules on height, distance. I used to prove to clients how dangerous these were by lighting a cigarette off the beam.
Ooh.
And I would do that with them maybe about a foot off the table. Now, granted, once it goes out into the audience, it's dispersed. It's not as bad. It's not going to burn them. But blind them is certainly possible, or at least leave some scar tissue. I noticed stage left, there was an effect that was starting to focus down more towards the audience. It was a beam bounce. So we, you know, bounced the laser up to the top truss, down to the stage, and then out over the audience. And the stage left mirror was starting to tilt. Mm. So I hit over stage left just behind the speaker stack. All the speakers were floor mounted mm-hmm. on this particular gig. Maybe about 2,500, 3,000 people in the audience. And I waited for a moment where I could get in front of the speaker stack and adjust that effect. Well, Rick and Edgar went center stage. They're chatting. So I figured, perfect moment. You know, no one's going to see me. I'm all, you know, we're all dressed in black. You know, everything's right. Always smoking mirrors in black. And so I start adjusting this mirror, get it raised back up to the, 45 degrees that I was looking for. And I didn't tighten it down very well, and it wasn't grabbing. And so as I'm tightening it down and trying to lock it in, Rick turns to the mic and screams "Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo" into the mic and drops me to the floor. I was probably 3 to 5 inches with my, oddly enough, my right ear from this stack of speakers.
Wow.
And we're show time, right? We're in the show. It is loud. It used to be, we would say, if it's too loud, you're too old. Well, at that moment, I became too old for too loud, and it literally dropped me to the floor. I had the nausea. My head felt muffled or wonky, is maybe one way to put it. And everything was just not right. So I crawled out of a door, literally on hands and knees, getting out into the hallway. There was doors in the theater, and I had to shake it off. I had to just breathe it out. The show has to go on. I know I have a job to do, and I had to get over it. At the end of the gig, I'm good. We're loading out. We're heading home. My head is screaming. There is such a loud sound in my head that I could not hear my boss very well as we're just chatting. Explain to him, I'm not really good. This is what happened. So I basically just tried to sleep on the drive back from Helena.
Right.
Noticed a couple of days later, still have it. Weeks later, still have it. Months later, still have it. Now, in 1991, I'm much younger than I was today, so I'm about 27, 28 years old, and I'm still going with production. So a lot of times I would fall asleep just from pure exhaustion. When doors are at 8 o'clock, well, that's when the audience comes in. You're ready. And if you're not ready, you better be ready, or you better figure out what it takes to get ready. So the adrenaline, the stress is insane. And then after the gig, you just collapse. I've had more 24-hour days than I could ever shake a stick at or even remember. I've had a couple 48-hour days, and my longest day is 65 and a half hours.
So just for clarification, so after this event occurs that you were in front of the speaker and dropped to the floor, you're still working, doing the same type of work. But during this time, you now have a sound in your right ear, is that correct? Or is it both ears?
Left side of my brain.
Uh-huh.
Oddly enough, which seems counterintuitive because it was my right side. That's a lot of clinicians about that. If the left side of the brain controls the right side of the body and the right side of the brain controls the left side of the body, which I don't know is true or not, but that's what I've heard, it would make sense. My right side was impacted, but the tinnitus is the left side of my brain.
Got it.
Yep. And of course, did I start wearing ear protection after that? No. Did I just start doing anything to protect? No, of course not. Young and dumb. And at the gigs, I really didn't hear it when we were in show mode because of all of this external sound, all the stimulus that was coming in. It was at night or when I was in a quiet room. There's a lot of hurry up and wait in production. Well, we have to get something done by a certain time, and then you might sit for an hour, and I'm not doing anything. And that's when I would hear it.
So let me stop and ask this. So you're saying you would, when you're in the quiet room, is when you would start to hear the tinnitus. Can you describe? So describe for us, what are you hearing? What does that sound like for someone who doesn't know?
Let's start with what is tinnitus or tinnitus, and I will flip back and forth on that.
Okay.
Tinnitus is a perceived sound where there is no sound being emitted from somewhere. So I perceive a very high-pitched squeal sound with a bit of an electrical crispiness around the edges, 24/7, always. I'm listening to it right now. I will never get away from it. It varies in levels, and there are reasons why my tinnitus might be louder on some days than others. And so I had to learn to identify what mm-hmm. my triggers are. Mm-hmm. But the hardest part of all of it was the keeping me awake at night. Because while I'm laying in bed, now I'm married, and my wife doesn't want to have, you know, kind of any ambient sound. I'm staring at a ceiling on the nights that I'm not out at some gig, and I'm listening to the squeal in my head, which is always, always, always on the left side of my brain. I don't call it ringing of the ears. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've been trying to change that for the last 20 years with the clinicians and folks that I meet with, because I know it's not in my ear. It's in my brain. Because I can almost pinpoint where it is, right about there.
So let me ask this, because this is interesting and I want to make sure that people are able to understand. So to you, you're trying to sleep. You've got this perceived sound, mm-hmm. but you know, when I hear the word sound, and this is what you're talking about, I think that I'm going to perceive it in my ears, like I'm hearing you speak to me in my ears. So are you feeling or sensing that it's towards your ears, or you're actually sensing that it's in your head?
I'm sensing it's in my brain.
Interesting.
Yeah. In 1999, I was sitting with Dr. Salvi at the University of Buffalo. It was first time I brought the product, which is now known as the Sound Pill Sleep System, to an event. And I said, for me, it is not in my ears. You keep calling it ringing of the ears, but I am telling you, if you put me under an MRI, it is not in my ears. It's in my brain. Hmm. He did not disagree with me. And then oddly enough, we spent the next day or so looking at MRIs, because that happened to be the subject that day. Mm-hmm. So I got to sit in on all of, you know, these very high level meetings where tinnitus was really kind of hitting the map, where it's becoming more known. And you guys also have to understand that when I first got this, there was no internet. And we're talking 1991. In fact, I didn't even really know what I had until 1994, when I was talking about it with my audio and video guys at a festival in El Paso. And I was kind of complaining about this screeching sound in my head. And my audio guy said, yeah, that's tinnitus. Hmm. I've got it. And then video had it. Monitors had it. The band had it.
Wow.
And the lead singer, country western singer that is very well known, so we'll not use her name. I'm not sure if she's gone public with her challenges with tinnitus. She had it. So I said to her, how do we get rid of this? And she's like, we don't. She goes, this is permanent. There is no cure. There's nothing you can do about it. You're just going to have to get over it. And I said, but I don't accept that. You know, I don't. I've since accepted that, because mm-hmm. she was right. You know, and this is an individual who could get on her private jet, go anywhere she wanted in the world, and see the best doctors in the world. And everyone she met told her, no cure for this. You're just going to have to get used to it and move on.
Wow.
So I can't cure it, right? No one's going to cure it. Even my product's not going to cure it. Mm-hmm. But where I was really struggling with was sleep. And now let's flash back to when I was, you know, in elementary school, listening to that radio underneath my pillow, which kind of helped calm me down and entertainment purposes. I didn't have tinnitus then or tinnitus mm-hmm. then.
Right.
But now I do. And I'm not the first person necessarily to put speakers in a pillow, but I was the first person to recognize, hey, this could really benefit someone like me. Keeping in mind, I did not know there were a lot of people out there like me, because we're still mm-hmm. talking early 90s, pre-internet. Mm-hmm. So I started playing with the concept then of speakers in a pillow. It helped me sleep. So I ended up taking that product, which was called the Sound Pillow, and it was kind of a prototype at the time from someone. And I said, look, I've got a vision for this. I want to completely, you know, rip apart what you've done, rebuild it, and do it this way. Can I have your company? You don't really want to do this anyway. Mm-hmm. Can I? So I bought the company.
So this is a perfect spot for us to take our second commercial break, because I really want to hear the story here and I don't want to break it up. So let's stop real quick for a commercial and we'll come right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, we are back on Sleep Science Today. We were just about to hear the beginnings of the Sound Pillow company in a way. So, Scott, please fill us in.
Got it. They were just kind of going into the how did the Sound Pillow come about? Mm-hmm. And I had found this kind of a prototype, a working prototype product that I had a vision for. The individuals who were playing with it didn't. So I bought that company. I trademarked Sound Pillow. That's a business degree they had. Mm-hmm. And then had to take it to somebody to see if it was a worthy product. Well, lo and behold, again, coming out of an industry where I knew there were associations for everything, I found a group called the American Tinnitus Association. The American Tinnitus Association was started by Dr. Jack Vernon, who actually is sort of the discoverer of tinnitus mm-hmm. in the U.S., and he co-founded the ATA, ATA.org, for anybody who wants to check them out. Great group. I don't receive any money from them. But I became a member, and I got a hold of the top doc there, a guy by the name of Stephen Nagler. And it took 6 months to get him on the phone. I would call him a couple times a week. Then I would go back, you know, every day, then a couple times. And I did this for 6 months until one day he accidentally answered the phone. And I'll tone the language down just a little bit so we can keep it a G rating for the program.
Right.
And it's Dr. Nagler. This is Scott with Sound Pillow. And he went, oh, dear Lord, quit calling me. And I went, I can't. I said, look, I have chronic tinnitus. I've got unilateral on the left side of my brain always. And then I've got bilateral on the right side when it just jumps in for no reason at all. So sometimes I've got both sides of my brain or both ears going. I have created this product, which I retuned frequency responses for the speakers. Again, working with my audio guys, we all had tinnitus. Mm-hmm. I rebuilt this product and I came up with it and I need to know. And this is exactly what I said to him. So I will apologize for just a moment. I said, I loathe snake oil and bullshit. And mm-hmm. I need to know. Turned out so did he. He loathed those two things. So he said, all right, Scott, tell you what I'm going to do. He said, we're going to send your product to 5 of my worst patients. You will fail miserably and never call me again. Deal.
Yeah.
Got it. Drew up, you know, some questions, got him a pillow. He got him over to his patients. The self-addressed, you know, stamped envelopes came back. And once we had all 5, took a big deep breath, started opening them up. Oh, my God. They loved it. I mean, absolutely loved it. A couple of them actually wrote multi-page, two-sided letters telling me about how this gave them hope, how being able to sleep was no longer a luxury for them. Mm-hmm. You've got to remember, when you're going to bed, if you think you're going to lay there all night, just the act of going to bed can cause stress and despair because they just don't believe they're going to go to sleep, you know? And I'd never really thought about that. Well, so here we go. I figured, how long is it going to take to get Dr. Nagler on the phone now? Call him up, and lo and behold, he answers the first time around. And I said, hey, Dr. Nagler, you know, this is Scott Armbruster with SoundPillow. And he goes, oh, dear Lord, you promised never to call me again. No, sir, that was not the deal. And I reminded him the deal was I would fail miserably. It would fail miserably. And then I would never call him again. Right. And he immediately said, oh, what you got? And I started reading the letters to him. And he said, okay, as it so happens, I'm going to be in Austin, Texas. I'm in San Antonio. In 2 weeks, let's have dinner.
Okay. So
this is, I want to say, 1996. And we had dinner. And he said, look, you look like you have something here. You know, we talked about my tinnitus, and I wasn't just trying to come up with something to sell to a desperate community because desperate people will spend desperate money. I mean, just look at what's going on the internet today, right? All those, you know, look at all the hoaxes and the snake oil, right?
Right.
He said, it's going to take you 20 years to get this product to be accepted in this community. Because if you can keep doing this for 20 years, then I think that you'll be accepted. Fortunately, my wife and I owned a successful promotional product company. So I had a day job. And that day job might have been, you know, sometimes it's 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day when you own your own company. I mean, you, like, you know, you're just constantly working. It never turns off. So I called SoundPillow my night job. And I started working with, you know, the American Tinnitus Association, got convinced them to let me put an ad in their journal, Tinnitus Today. It took a little convincing, and I think Dr. Nagler may have had a little bit of, you know, cachet in helping that happen. And then the wheels started to turn.
Can I stop and ask a question for a second? Because I bet the listeners are wondering what I'm wondering too. When you say that you've got this sound pillow and you're talking about speakers and a pillow and you had these people tested and they loved it, what is it actually doing for them? What are they experiencing?
Okay. So this the sound pillow itself is a non-allergenic twin size pillow with a set of stereo speakers built inside the pillow. Back then, when it was just sound pillow, you'd plug that into, say, a Walkman or a Discman, you know, some music, and you listen to the sound from the pillow. So you've got these really, you know, keep in mind, I did big corporate gigs and concerts, so I was a speaker snob. My audio guys were speaker snobs. So we came up with some very small speakers that really do sound great and push the sound right around the ears on either side of the head.
Okay. You know?
And as a side sleeper, if my tinnitus is particularly loud, I'll just kind of get close on one ear, which it usually is, the left side. I'll get closer to maybe one side. But what happens then is I'm listening to another sound instead of the squeal in my head. Now, I can still hear that squeal, which is going to lead into where the sound pillow sleep system comes in, because I needed to create sounds that worked with my tinnitus, not against my tinnitus. Being banned from band, I knew that there were harmonics and certain notes that sounded good together and certain that didn't, right? You hear a chord that sounds real nice. So I started then developing content that worked with the squeal in my head. I'm not going to fight it. No point. Can't get rid of it anyway. And so I started listening to and creating sounds that made my brain happy. Now, let's reference Dr. Jack Vernon again for a moment, because one day Dr. Vernon actually called me. And this is the guy who discovered tinnitus, the modern day discoverer of tinnitus. And he said, Scott, I hear what you're doing. I think it's great. These are the types of sounds you want to consider. You want to consider rain, ocean, water sounds, white noise nature, relaxation sounds, perhaps some musics, and of course, white noise.
Everybody knows.
White noise.
Right.
Okay, got you. So I started creating music with a gentleman who also saw the vision, and he had some really good hypnotic types of sounds that made my brain feel relaxed and comfortable. from there, we had to have these white noise nature sounds that Jack had mentioned. And in fact, you know, there's a whole bunch of content on our sleep system. The player comes preloaded with 22 tracks. Mm-hmm. And the nature sounds are natural. They're organic. I didn't want to do anything that was synthetic because the brain knows.
Right.
So I listen to sounds that make my brain happy by working with the squeal in my head, not against it. Mm-hmm. And that sound is emitted from the pillow right around my ears. Mm-hmm. So I get to hear it, but my wife doesn't.
So let me stop you there for a second, just because, you know, we've got about 3 minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that I get to ask this question. So you've got this pillow, it's on the bed now. Is there a wire, like, is it plugged into something? Is it battery operated? Yeah. If I'm using it, what do I have to know about it?
Okay. Literally, it was designed around my then 72-year-old mother who doesn't like to read instructions. So everything is hardwired. And you basically just plug it into the MP3 player, much like your headphones are plugged into a speaker input or a speaker jack on whatever device you're listening through, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing. Mm-hmm. But instead of listening to the sound through the headphones, which then that cord, if you're sleeping, could get wrapped around your neck, very right. uncomfortable, and plus the danger of that. And then you just push the kind of the cord back behind the pillow and it connects to the MP4 player. And the MP4 player is designed to play whatever track you fall asleep to all night long so that the brain is receiving a stimulus. Mm-hmm. The brain is receiving a sound that's working with the tinnitus, and you're not just listening to the squealing tinnitus in and of itself.
Okay.
It's a distraction.
So another question that I'm sure people have is, if you've got speakers in a pillow, does it feel like you're laying on something hard and uncomfortable?
No, because I wouldn't use it then. That was part of the issue, right? And when I say I took somebody else's prototype and completely redesigned it, that was mm-hmm. one of the things I changed. So our speakers are a bit convex. And the way the material sits on top of the speakers, which is, you know, a polyfiber fill, one, because it's, again, non-allergenic, but mm-hmm. the other, it lets the sound through, unlike foam. And so I don't feel the speakers. Most of the feedback comes back is, Scott, I wouldn't believe there are speakers in your sound pillow if mm-hmm. I couldn't hear them.
So let me stop you there, because we've only got about 40 seconds left in the show. So tell me the impact that has had on your life for you using it.
Oh my!
Tell
gosh.
Us that. You got 30 seconds to tell us.
I sleep. I mean, that's just it. I sleep. Now, granted, I'm not always perfect sleeper. I've got a 21-year-old daughter in college going on 30 who thinks she knows everything and is racing the world. I've got my own stresses, but it helps calm my brain. It helps shut down the racing type A personality conversation in my head, distracts me from my tinnitus, and then puts me in a very relaxed state so I can achieve sleep.
Excellent.
And that's the feedback we get from veterans and civilians alike.
No. Perfect. That's actually right at our time slot here. So thank you so much. I really appreciate, you know, understanding the background of this and how we got there. So if you are listening and you have tinnitus, this is another option that you may want to explore. Could be beneficial. And for those listeners, please don't forget to join us on sleepsciencetoday.com. You can go there. You can get a free ebook about sleep and a lot of other special information. And when you look at the podcast online, you can see links to Scott and information about him. So thank you so much. And we appreciate you being here, Scott.
All right. You have a great day. Be well.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com.
Remember, sleep science today and sleep better tonight.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.